I am Pierre Lumumba here in the Central Business District of Nairobi, Kenya, in Nairobi County and in the continent of Africa. Today we look at Kenya herself. Kenya regained her independence in 1963 after a struggle against the British colonialists. Many will remember that it is in Kenya that we had the Mau Mau Rebellion, and it is in Kenya that the British declared an emergency. And when she regained independence in 1963, it was through negotiations, and those negotiations started in Lancaster, what is known as the Lancaster Conferences. And it is in Lancaster that the British ultimately accepted to grant independence on the basis of a constitution, Act number 1968 of 1963. This model of constitutions was known as the Westminster Model Constitutions. And they had one characteristic, that the monarch remained the head of state, and the prime minister of the independent countries was the head of government. That was the state of Kenya until 1964, when Kenya became a republic on the 12th day of December 1964, with Jomo Kenyatta as the prime minister. When that happened, there were two major political parties, the Kenya African National Union, which was party that believed in unitary government, and the Kenya African Democratic Union, which believed in a federal system of government. When the elections were held, the very first election, KANU won the elections, and therefore the federal constitution was the one that did not fly, and it is a new constitutional dispensation that then took root. It is instructed that between 1963 and 1969, the Kenyan constitution had been amended 27 times, with the consequence that in 1969, the Kenyan constitution was reorganized as and reissued as Act number 5 of 1969. But let us go back a little. In 1964, something happened. The Kenya Africa Democratic Union disbanded itself, and all her members joined KANU, so that effectively or de facto, Kenya became a one-party state. And another thing happened in 1966. The then Vice President of the Republic, Mr. Oginga Odinga, left the party and formed the Kenya People's Union, leading to detentions of many of his followers. This position continued, with Kenya being a de facto one-party state until 1978, when Jomo Kenyatta died. And when Jomo Kenyatta died, his vice president, Daniel Toroitich Arap Moi, became the president. And no sooner had he become the president than he instituted a one-party state de jure. This was in the year 1982, when Section 2A of the Constitution was introduced to make KANU the only party, so that all the elections were being held were under the aegis of a single party. Of course, we still made the claim that we were a democracy. And it's instructive, others may say many things, Kenya remained relatively peaceful, but the Kenyan politics from 1966 became ethnic, so that ethnicity became the prime mover of how politics was organized. Even political parties were coined on that basis. When the Berlin Wall collapsed, and sometimes we refer to this as if it was the greatest marker, the reality is, when the Soviet Union collapsed, the world changed. African countries also changed. The idea of one-party state started to disappear. Movements from within and without the country, the civil society, funded largely by Western NGOs, started becoming active. Kenya was no exception. The Moi administration became more intolerant, oppressive, using laws to detain, charging people with sedition and other offenses known to Kenyan law, but oppressive nevertheless. So that in the run-up to the year 1990s, in 1988, there was a landmark election in Kenya where Daniel Moi, the then president, said that they would use queue voting rather than the ballot. It was a disaster. Short queues were declared winners. And ultimately, the Moi administration mandated his then vice president, Professor George Saitoti, to go around the country and to collect the people's views. The people were clear that they wanted a new political dispensation, which was a multi-party state. And of course, in that run-up, the agitation by political players was also enhanced. And ultimately, in 1992, the constitution was amended. And in 1992, for the first time, we had multi-party elections. The Forum for the Restoration of Democracy became the umbrella party. And for the first time, Kenyans assumed that we were going to have elections that were devoid of ethnic mobilization. But Ford itself was soon to be divided along ethnic lines, with one segment led by Oginga Odinga being largely Luo and Luhya, one segment led by Kenneth Njindo Matiba, Ford Asili being largely Kikuyu, and another one, Ford Kenya, being led by Simeon Nyachae, being largely of a smaller group, he himself coming from the Kisii community. So Kenyan politics, we had multi-party elections in the year 1992. We had another one in the year 1997. We had another one in the year 2013, the year 2022. And the net effect is, of course, 2007, 2008. And 2007, 2008 is very significant in the history of Kenya. It is significant in this regard. In the elections of 2002, the then President Daniel Moi was not a candidate, but he supported a candidate in Uhuru Muigai Kenyatta. The United Opposition supported Mwai Kibaki, and Mwai Kibaki won by landslide. In fact, the elections in the year 2002 were praised world over because the candidate who lost the elections came and conceded defeat. Very unusual in the continent of Africa for one to come and say, I've looked at the results and I'm satisfied that I lost the election. The then supporter of Mwai Kibaki, the late Raila Amolo Odinga, then broke ranks with Mwai Kibaki and participated in the elections in the year 2007, 2008. And one of the most unfortunate things that happened in Kenya is that there was mobilization against one ethnicity. The mantra was 41 against one. And this mobilization was against the ethnic group called the Agekoyo. Of course, when the election results were declared, Raila Odinga did not accept the results, and Kenya nearly went into a civil war, but for the intervention of the international community. The international community mediated the process with the late Kofi Annan being the mediator, assisted by people like Graca Machel from Mozambique, and ultimately there was a political rapprochement. But by that time, people had been displaced in the Rift Valley region. There was burning of the Agikuyu businessmen property in Rift Valley, in Nyanza, and ultimately the office of the Prime Minister was created. And we ended up in a situation where a few individuals were taken to the International Criminal Court for purposes of prosecution because they had conducted themselves in a manner that was interpreted by the ICC as being criminal in danger to the nation of Kenya. Ultimately, of course, the cases did not run their course. The current president, William Ruto, was indicted. President Uhuru Kenyatta was indicted. Senior officials were indicted, but the cases did not go their full course. Witnesses disappeared, witnesses were compromised, but that notwithstanding, Kenya remained in the elections in 2022. Once again, Mr. Odinga contested, he rejected the results. In the year 2025, once again, rather in 2025, he rejected the results. So that we have had this series of elections, 1963, 1969, 1979, 1992, 1997, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2007, 2002, 2013, 2022. And the beauty is that we are shaken but not stirred. So that when one is talking about a country that in some ways is trying to be democratic, Kenya is one such country. The only unfortunate thing in Kenya is that ethnicity has become the dominant mobilizing force in Kenyan politics. The other thing that has dominated Kenyan politics, which is unfortunate, is corruption. So that many individuals who get into the political space do so by vote buying, and they do so by ethnic mobilization. This therefore makes Kenyan election very fragile. Fragile in the sense that every election cycle, ethnic mobilization is intensified. And when it intensifies, ordinary people then bear the brunt. And these politicians use it to good effect. So we have a democracy in Kenya, however defined, and I'm defining democracy to mean a government where people are involved in decision making by participating in the ballot. But it is fragile, as I've already indicated, because it is not based on ideas. The manifestos may say all the beautiful things, but the most important thing in Kenyan politics to the political class is that which ethnic group do you come from? A former vice president or deputy president who was impeached said that this is a government of shareholders. In his own mind, it is ethnic groups that have shareholding. That is an unfortunate path to take. Corruption, I've already indicated, is another problem. So I look forward particularly with the new generation, the Gen Zs, who are now saying they are tribeless, they are fearless. The only thing is that they must not be leaderless. Once they are led and organized, that is the only way in which we'll strengthen Kenyan democracy and make it a model for African governance. Brothers and sisters, we continue our discussion on the continent of Africa, discussing diverse issues. But let us have this break to see you another time. Thank you very much.